enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom. Good Sabbath. CINN stations in Alt salutes our troops. Whether you're for the war or against it, they're still there. These men and women deserve more than our support. They deserve the comfort of home. Send a military care package today. Just type military care package into a search engine. Point and click. Let's show our troops we care. This message from CINN stations in Alt, wishing Godspeed to our fighting men and women and thanking them for their triumphs and their sacrifices.
Well, good morning, Dr. Stay. I'm here at the American Freedom Network, and I guess this morning, Pastor Billy Crone, he's going to be talking about certainly the validity of the scriptures, the Holy Scriptures. But before we get to that, because I do believe that God brings judgments on nations, I would simply point out that there's an organized, intentional effort to destroy this country. The enemy is not in Moscow. The enemy is not in Beijing. The enemy is not in a cave somewhere over in Pakistan or Afghanistan. The enemy is right here in the United States. It is at 58 East 68th Street in New York City, the Harold Pratt House. The people who installed Barack Obama in office and certainly put George W. Bush there before him and Clinton there before. And of course, all of the presidents for some years have been running deficits, massive deficit spending, certainly the biggest deficit spender we ever had up to that point in time when he became president was Ronald Reagan. He promised balanced budgets. He gave us almost a $2.7 trillion in excess of debt. I mean, it took us 200 years to accumulate $1 trillion in debt. Ronald Reagan gave us $1.7 trillion in debt in just 8 years in office. And then, of course, we had George W. Bush. He was the biggest spender of all time. Until Barack Obama. Today, 43 cents out of every dollar the American government spends is borrowed money. In other words, we have to borrow 43 cents for every dollar we spend. Now, there is no better way to destroy a nation than through debt. And this is happening. It's not happening by accident. Barack Obama is simply a front for the people who want to destroy America. And out of the chaos that's coming is going to come then this desire, a demand on the part of the people for a new system. I mean, it's the greed on Wall Street. It's a capitalistic system. We've got to do away with it. What's the solution? Increase the power of the federal government. They created the problem, and that's how we're going to solve the problem. That's what you're going to be told. That's what the Occupy Wall Street theme is. Greed. We need more government controls to get it. That government control that's allowed the greed to increase, that's allowed a small group to gain control of the reins of government, and they today are in the process of destroying this nation. You either get involved now, find out what's going on, and help us save America, or you'll spend your twilight years telling your children and your children's children what it was to live in America where men were free. And with that as a background, I do believe these things are happening because America has turned against God. Well, let's get to Pastor Billy Grohn, and he's going to talk on how do we know the scriptures are really valid. Pastor Grohn, you pick up the story.
Well, thank you, Dr. Monteith. It's always a pleasure to be on. And, you know, and again, that's really what's the sad irony, I guess you could say, is you're talking about what's happening to our nation. I fully agree with you, Dr. Monteith, obviously. And it's unfortunate. And yet what's doubly unfortunate, I guess, is, believe it or not, the Bible predicted these things in great intimate detail in the New Testament nearly 2,000 years ago, the Old Testament, even more than that. The Bible talked about the rise of, why are these guys pushing this? Why are these guys doing this to our great nation and around the world? It's because the Bible predicted that in the last days, there's going to be a seven-year period called the seven-year tribulation, the final week of Daniel's 70th prophecy. It's going to be a horrible time, and it's going to be a time where the Antichrist rises onto the scene, and he's going to, for a period, a short time, he's going to have control of the world. He's going to push for a one-world government, economy, a one-world religion, and he's going to usher in this thing called the Mark of the Beast, where you're not going to be able to buy or sell unless you take the mark. If you don't worship him, you're going to be killed. It's going to be a horrible time. Jesus clearly said it's going to be, in fact, the worst time in mankind's history. And it's all there. It's all there for us to read. It's all for us to be make adequate preparations so we don't fall for the lie. We certainly don't end up worshiping the Antichrist and his kingdom and going along with that. And yet this is the problem, Dr. Monteith. People are trained, and I don't think this is by chance, people are trained to scoff at the Bible, even to the point where I used to be. Where people would make these bold claims like, oh, hey, the Bible, don't even pick that up. That thing's just a book written by man. It's full of contradictions and errors. And it's like, really? Have you ever even read it? I mean, I would assume if you're being intellectually honest that you would at least pick it up at least once and read it at least once. And even if you did read it once, does that make you a scholar on it? I mean, if I wanted to go teach at a university calculus, if I read one book on geometry, does that make me eligible to be a teacher of it? I don't think so. And nobody ever challenged me back in those days. And what I learned, Dr. Monteith, is society has done a masterful job of getting people to scoff at the Bible. Here's the whole point. So you won't pick up the Bible and read it. Because think about it, folks, from the Antichrist point of view, believe it or not, in the Bible contains in intimate detail everything that's going on in our planet and what is coming down the pike. Why? Because God is real. He loves us, and he warns us ahead of time, be prepared, just like he did with Noah's day, okay? Gave him time to respond. God's doing the same thing today. And if I were the Antichrist, the last thing I would want is somebody revealing my step-by-step, intimate, detailed plans of how I'm going to try to overtake this planet and usher mankind into the greatest slavery. Okay, well, he's tried throughout the years to get rid of the Bible, but that doesn't work. So what do you do? Well, I'm telling you, folks, this is it. It gets you to scoff at the Bible so you won't pick it up. And so you'll never investigate the plans, even though the plans for the Antichrist kingdom, I think it's about 92% of American households owns at least one copy of the Bible. And so it's right there underneath your nose. It's just collecting dust. And so that's what I wanted to talk with today, of just to encourage people logically, even philosophically, why you might want to pick that book up, folks, and be prepared for what's coming down the pike, and why you can know that the Bible is completely unique. It really did come from God. In fact, there is no book in the history of mankind, like the Bible. And so I wanted to deal with some of that evidence. And the first evidence we know that the Bible really did come from God, folks. This is a supernatural book. It was not whipped up just merely by the hand of man. God is the one who steered that. And believe it or not, the first evidence is because, as ironic and obvious as it sounds, is because the Bible says so. Okay? The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that all Scripture is God-breathed. Okay? It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And you might be thinking, like, well, okay, so what? So the Bible says that it's the Word of God, whoop-de-doo. Well, stop and think about it logically, folks. If you're being intellectually honest, and if you're in a genuine search to authenticate a document, okay, you have to give the document the benefit of the doubt, okay?
Hold that thought, Pastor. We'll be back in a moment. Hold the thought.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
All of God's people have a ministry, and it's a trick of our enemy to keep God's people sick and worn out to hinder their ability to minister. We are often judgmental toward people who are addicted to booze, cigarettes, and drugs, but we at The Green Herb have found that most of God's people are unknowingly addicted to the two most addictive products in America, sugar and soda pop. If you have a sickness or disease, or if you're just tired a lot, The Green Herb has an herbal product that is formulated just for you and is just $15.95. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. Or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com, and be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
11 years ago, when my uncle started the Patriot Trading Group, gas was 75 cents a gallon. We were running an alleged budget surplus, and the total national debt was $5 trillion, and the government was forecasting the debt would be eliminated by 2010. And I thought my uncle was a wacko with tinfoil on his head. Well, I owned tech stocks certain to become a millionaire before the millennium rolled over. Since then, the debt has doubled, jobs are heading overseas, and 100,000 people have joined Eric with tinfoil on their heads. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President for the Patriot Trading Group, and as gold and silver have doubled and even tripled during the first 11 years, the issues facing this country over the next 11 years look far worse. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592. We offer all forms of gold, silver, platinum, and palladium shipped and delivered at the most competitive prices in the country. Call us, 800-951-0592, or check out our website at allamericangold.com. And remember, you don't need to have tinfoil to own gold and silver.
Well, I understand Pastor Brown was just saying that when you're going to consider the document, at least give it the benefit of the doubt and read it through and see what it has to say. Go right ahead, Pastor Crone.
Well, and that's just pure logic, Dr. Monteith. Sorry to interrupt you there, but it's just pure logic. In fact, if you're talking about, you know, being a great mind, a great thinker, even Aristotle knew this, folks, that if you don't do this, you're a hypocrite. Aristotle said that the benefit of the doubt is to be given to the document itself and not arrogated by the critic himself. Okay, and that's exactly the opposite of what people are doing when it comes to the Bible. You see, the skeptic automatically assumes that the Bible is full of errors and contradictions, and then you have to prove it innocent. But this is hypocritical, folks. We even know in our court systems that something is innocent until proven guilty. Okay, it's the exact opposite. And so if you're really, truly an intellectual, honest seeker of the truth, I mean, shouldn't you apply the same standard to the Bible, give it the benefit of the doubt? And so that's what you need to understand. What does the Bible say then? Well, folks, emphatically, if people would read it, the Bible flat out declares this is not a book whooped up by man. What the Bible speaks is what God is speaking. The phrase is, thus saith the Lord, appears 415 times. Saith the Lord, 854 times. The word of the Lord, 258 times. The Lord has spoken 30 times. It is written, implying of God, 80 times. And that's just over and over, and that's not all of them. Over and over again, the Bible emphatically declares and simply assumes that what you're reading is, in fact, the words from God. God is speaking to us through this book. Okay? And again, if you're honest in your approach with the Bible, then you have to have this proper approach that the Bible is innocent until proven guilty instead of the other way around. Otherwise, you're being a hypocrite. Now, the second line of evidence why we know the Bible had to come from God is because, folks, believe it or not, Jesus said so. Okay? And this is what's funny, Dr. Monteith, is, you know, many skeptics, although they will not believe and disbelieve that Jesus was God in the flesh who came to this world to die on the cross to take the death penalty in our place for our sins. They won't give him credence that he was the Messiah, the one who was to come to save mankind, okay, even though he emphatically declares that if you would read the Bible, okay. But the world will, nonetheless, by and large, most people will at least label Jesus as a good teacher, which, again, if you read the Bible, I think that's a grossly narrow view of who Jesus really is. But, let's meet the skeptic on their terms, okay. And so what did this, even by the world's definition, this great teacher, Jesus, what did he have to say about the Bible? Was this a book whipped up by man? I don't think so. If you read the Bible, you're going to see what Jesus has to say about it. He gives it divine authority in Matthew chapter 4. He gives it indestructibility in Matthew 5. He gives it infallibility or unbreakability in John chapter 10. He gives it the ultimate supremacy in Matthew 15. He gives it factual inerrancy in Matthew 22. He gives it historical reliability. Maybe we can get that far in the interview. That's exactly the truth. In fact, the Bible is so accurate historically on events that archaeologists, if they want to just take a shortcut and find out where these cities are and these peoples, they go straight to the Bible because it's right every single time. Scientific accuracy, Jesus gave it that in Matthew 19. And so logically, you have to deal with this, folks. The authority of Jesus confirms the authority of the Bible. If Jesus is the Son of God, then the Bible is the Word of God, because that's exactly what he said. And if Jesus is telling the truth, and he gives us no evidence when you read the Bible of his character that he's a liar, okay, then it has to be true that the Bible is indeed from God, okay? But let's continue on. Another line of evidence is because the apostles say so. And you think, well, of course they're going to say that. Well, no. Think about it logically. Okay, if you're going to investigate a crime scene, okay, and you're in charge of, you know, got to get the facts, got to find out, okay, what's going on, I got to validate this event, okay. What do you want to get? What kind of testimony? Well, what you hope to get is eyewitness account. Okay, that's logical. We do that all the time, every day around the country, when it comes to investigations. All right, so if you're going to investigate the authority of the Bible, let's see what those eyewitnesses had to say. They were right there with Jesus. They were called the apostles. And folks, if you take a look at their eyewitness account, the apostles, who ended up, a lot of them being the writers of the New Testament, assumed that the Bible, period, the Old Testament, really did come from God, and what was they were speaking and teaching, which is to become the New Testament, was indeed the Word of God. Let me give you just a couple of those references of their eyewitness account. 2 Peter chapter 1 says, but know this, of course this is the Apostle Peter, but know this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, i.e., can I translate that for you? It's not whipped up by man. But, Peter says, men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. So it's God who is using men to pin this down, but God is the one who's the author of it. The Apostle Paul, he says in 1 Corinthians, he says, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom. Okay, this isn't some just new religion that we whipped up on the planet, i.e. Christianity. He says, no, but those taught by the Spirit, i.e. God. Okay, and in fact, then you think about it, folks. Furthermore, the apostles were so convinced that the Bible was the Word of God, and that what they were writing was the Word of God, which is to become the New Testament. So much so were they convinced that in the very last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, okay, in the very last, it ends with a severe warning. You better not even tamper with this book. You better not touch this thing. You better not try to tweak it, because you're going to be in a heap of trouble with God. Okay, Revelation 22 says this, I testify, and this is the Apostle John, an eyewitness. He says, I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues which are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and the holy city which are written in this book. Okay? So, man, they're really thinking this is from God. They warn you, hey, listen, this isn't something whooped up by man. This is a supernatural book for all of mankind. God's revealing what's going to come down the pike. He's revealing the good news that his son has come to take the death penalty in our place. We can have a beautiful, intimate relationship with him. God's very serious about this. He loves people. He wants people to have this relationship with him. So don't mess it up. Don't tweak it. And if you do, you're in a heap of trouble. Okay? That's what the eyewitnesses said. Now, here's another interesting point about these eyewitnesses, this at the scene of the crime, if you will, to use that analogy, is that if you take a look at the disciples, folks, every one of them put their lives on the line for this belief. In fact, every one of them, okay, died for this belief. The Apostle John is the only one who died a, quote, natural death, although he had to endure some serious suffering. Church history records that he was tortured. He had his feet put in boiling oil to get him to turn away. Also, he was banished on the island of Patmos, which, of course, that's where we get the book of Revelation being recorded for us. But all the other apostles, folks, died horrible deaths. Peter was crucified upside down. Other ones were beaten, skinned alive, crucified. It's just shot to death by arrows. You know, every single one of them died for this belief. All right? Now stop and think about it logically. Maybe one, maybe two, you get a couple crackpots in the crowd, with all due respect. Okay? You could say that logically. Okay? But would every single one of these men be willing to die for a lie? That doesn't make sense, folks. I don't think so. But every single one of them did, save for John, but he was willing to be tortured for it as well. Okay, so you got to deal with that logically, okay? But that's not all. The next line of evidence that the Bible really is a supernatural book, it came from God, is because the early church and church history says so. Okay? Now, this is important because this is kind of just dovetailing off the scenario that we looked at logically with the apostles, that these are the guys who are eyewitnesses. These are the guys who are the closest to if you will, the crime scene. And so their words should carry some weight. In fact, a whole lot more than you, who are 2,000 years removed. These are the guys who are right there, the same generation and or the next generation, okay? And the proof that the early church's position of the Bible being the Word of God is shown not only in what they talk about it and saying that this is really from God, but is because their quotations, quoting it, tens of thousands of times they quoted the Bible being the Word of God, over and over and over and over and again. In fact, so much so, there's an interesting, it's almost like, Dr. Montiti, God wanted to make sure that even if man did try to tamper with the Bible, people were still going to get this wonderful message, instead. And that's one of the interesting things. And the early church folks so much believe that the Bible really did come from God. Okay? That there's an interesting thing that happened. There's a guy named, Sir David Dalrymple. And, he was challenged. That with this challenge, and that it was if the New Testament was destroyed, okay, and somehow every single copy on the planet of it was lost by the end of the third century, okay, it's all gone. It's just somehow the Romans got it, and then it's over, and we have zilch left, okay? Okay, could it have been collected together again from the writings of the early church, okay, that next generation, okay? And so after a great deal of investigation, here's his actual quote. He says, that question roused my curiosity. And as I possessed all the existing works of the early church from the second and third centuries of the church fathers, he says, I commenced to search, and up to this time, I have found the entire New Testament, except for 11 verses. And so that tells us that even if the entire New Testament was completely destroyed, we could still reconstruct the thing just from the quotations taken from it, from those who were very close to that generation, from when it was being birthed, okay? And folks, the Bible is the only book that you can do this with it, okay? And that's how much the church believed it to be the Word of God. And again, I think it's an interesting preservation point from God that even if somebody were to get rid of all the copies, we can still reconstruct it just by the quotations taken from it. Okay, but again, following the same logic, it wasn't just the apostles, folks, who were willing to die and die horrible, egregious deaths, staking their life on the fact that the Bible is from God and the message contained and who Jesus is and what he's come to do for us and has done for us is true. The early church, folks, put their lives on the line. And in fact, if you look at the early church, you'll see that in a very short amount of time, the early church literally took over the Roman world at the time. And a lot of historians believe that there was three different reasons why the early church made such a great impact on that society of the day. And the reason, number one, was because they witnessed their love for each other. And that these people believe that this really came from God, and they're really going to be in heaven. They're so grateful for their sins being forgiven, that they're getting along, they're loving each other, as the Bible tells us to do as Christians. And it was a major impact. Because why? Because you don't get that in the world. So that was a major impact on the Roman culture. The second major impact the early church made on the Roman culture was their intellect, that they could not only just share and quote the Bible, but they could defend the Bible, that it was a faith that's not blind. It was a faith that could be defended. It was a faith that's logical and satisfying, not only spiritually, but philosophically as well. And so that blew them away, because it wasn't like the pagan ones, like, hey, the world came from the two elephants fighting, and blood was dripping off their backs, and that's, yeah, whatever. But the Bible, you can defend it, because it really did come from God. It's not illogical. Okay, there's supernatural events that transcend the understanding of man, but it's not illogical. But the third reason, folks, and this is my point in bringing this up, the third thing is that the early church was willing to die like flies for this belief. And if you know anything about the early church, folks, and the persecution going on, I mean, Christians were tortured, Christians were fed by the scores, by the thousands and thousands, to lions, to be eaten alive. They even got so bad at one point that Christians were crucified. They were dipped in tar and lit at night in the Roman courtyards, just like human torches to give them light. Okay, I mean, and so again, you got to ask yourself logically. Now, not just the apostles, but now the people, the very next generation, from when the Bible, the New Testament is being recorded for us, would you be willing to line up by the thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands for a lie? That just doesn't make sense. It starts to add up. So not only does the Bible say it came from God, Jesus said it comes from God, the apostles say it came from God, the early church gives us the example. They believed it came from God. Okay, but that's not all. Okay, the transmission standards say it had to come from God. Okay? And 2 Peter, once again, the Apostle Paul says, hey, listen, we were not, in 2 Peter chapter 1, he says, for we were not making up clever stories when we told you about the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and his coming again. We have seen his majestic splendor with our own eyes. You must understand that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophets themselves, or because they wanted to prophesy. It was the Holy Spirit, i.e. God, who moved the prophets to speak. And so he clearly says right there, listen, guys, we're not making this up. This is not some clever story. We're not just trying to whip up a new religion on the planet so we can bilk people out of their cash and blah, 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 blah. You know, like that skeptics say. Okay, saying that over and over again. And so people say, well, okay, that's fine. That's great. What, okay, maybe it really did come from God. You know, it was recorded for us. Okay, but even if what was originally spoken to these people really did come from God, there's no guarantee that what we have for us today is really even accurate. And what they'll usually do is they'll bait you, and they'll cite this typical scenario where they'll say, well, how can it be trustworthy after all these generations? I mean, you've played the game. You know, one person whispers a sentence to one person, and then it goes around the room, and after a dozen people, it comes back around, and it's totally changed. So you mean to tell me that even if what was recorded did come from God originally, that the copies we have today are reliable? Yes, they are, if you take a look at the transmission standard.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here with Pastor Billy Crow at our department.
There are plenty of things you may wish were lower, like your taxes, your commuting time, your weight. But there's one thing people can get lower, car insurance with State Farm. Talk to an agent today about State Farm's new lower car insurance rates, and while you're there, get State Farm's free discount double check. It's just another way a State Farm agent can be there for you. So call an agent 24/7 or visit statefarm.com and find out about State Farm's new lower rates. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Rates apply only in the state of Colorado and are not valid in any other state.
Whether you already know essential oils are valued for their ancient wisdom and wellness, or you're considering their use as a viable, non-toxic, healthy alternative, your question should be the same. Are all essential oils certified pure therapeutic grade? Who makes the highest quality essential oils available? Do all tests for safety and meet rigorous standards? Can all oils pass the scrutiny of health professionals and scientists? Many essential oils don't meet these standards, so ask one more question. Where can I find the most powerful, reasonably priced, certified pure therapeutic grade essential oils? doTERRA, gift of the earth. doTERRA, committed to natural, empowering ideals. If you're new to essential oils or a seasoned expert, you'll recognize the superior quality of doTERRA certified pure therapeutic grade essential oils with your first experience. Call 970-493-6789. That's 970-493-6789 or RockyMountainEssentialOil.com. That's RockyMountainEssentialOil.com.
Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival. Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. 3 praise and worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org.
Well, I guess this morning, Pastor Billy Crone, and before we go on, Billy, would you go ahead and tell our listeners how they can get to your website and get your information?
Yeah, sure. You can check us out at our main website at getalifemedia.com. That's GetalifeMedia.com. GetalifeMedia.com. Or if you're in the Las Vegas area, you're welcome to stop on in personally and join us for services or studies at sunriselv.com. SunriseLV, as in Las Vegas.com.
Well, now, one of the things that we see today, we see so many different translations of the Bible, and some of them use the Alexandria text, and others use a different text. So, if there's so many translations of the Bible, and some new translations leave whole phrases and lots of verses out, how could we be sure which one's accurate?
Well, that's a great question, and a lot of it is there's a misunderstanding of why there are even different translations of the Bible, because some of them, they serve for a different purpose. Some translations are what's called a thought-for-thought translation, and they're not going so much word-by-word as they're trying for, in order for the reader to understand it. That's the whole point. God wants us to understand and be able to read His Word, okay, the Bible. And so for the reader to easily understand what's going on in the Scripture, they'll do thought for thought, and so they'll take a verse in the Bible, and they'll try to grab the thought of what's going on there and translate it as such. Other translations will have literally a word for word, and you think, well, shouldn't that be how they all should be? Well, technically, yeah, but there's a little quandary in there. The problem is Koine Greek, which is what the New Testament was written in, of course, Hebrew and the Old Testament. Koine Greek, which means common Greek language of the day, is not what we speak today. We speak English or different other languages. Okay, no, and even the Greek language that they have today is different from Koine or classical Greek back then. Okay, and if you know anything about that language, it has completely different rules that apply than English. Okay, for instance, English, you know, we have our certain, you know, you have to have a noun, then a verb, you got to follow by this, you have to go in this order. Greek, it's a beautiful language, it's awesome, it's very exacting, you could see why God chose that to have the New Testament recorded in, and it's very expressive, but it doesn't have those same kind of rules. I mean, you could start off with a verb, you can then end at the very end with a noun, and now if you knew Greek, it makes perfect sense, okay? But if you were to try to translate that literally word for word over into the English, man, that makes for some rough reading. So, Dr. Montita, I think a lot of people don't want to, they just don't understand the differences of new translations. They say, well, why don't you just have one, you stick to it? Well, you don't understand the purpose of that. Number two, you have to translate it because not everybody speaks the same language. You know, as you go into other indigenous countries and people, people are having to translate the Bible all the time in different languages, so the natives and people who speak things, they, in fact, they have to go in there for several years and learn their language and then translate the Bible so they can get God's message as well. So number one, I think that the people don't understand the purpose of the translations. Now, however, with that said, I do think that the enemy's coming in and he's trying to pervert even good translations of the Bible. And that's pretty obvious, and I've dealt with this before in studies, study we have called The Final Countdown, and things of that nature, and we've exposed this where they've actually got to, it's not just that you're trying to translate the Bible so that people can accurately, so that people can understand it, read it, which is the whole point of it, okay? You know, God doesn't play cat and mouse with this, like, man, we'll never understand. No, He wants you to understand it, okay? And as languages evolve, then of course we need to translate that and keep up, okay? You don't change the Bible, but you have to translate it in the language of the people so they can understand it. Again, that's the whole point. But what's happened is the enemy's come along, and there's perverted translations out there, okay? So I'm not saying that everyone's good, but there are perverted ones out there, and we've exposed this. I mean, there's the feminist or gender-neutral versions out there, and those are total blasphemy. Now, those are tweaking with the text, because then they'll say, well, it's not fair that you keep saying mankind, and so it needs to be humankind, and so let's try to be politically correct. Then they'll go even a step further, and they'll say, even though, hello, everybody knows what you're talking about, but then they'll go even further, blasphemy, I would say, and they'll say, well, we don't like all these male gender usages in the Bible with the father or the son. Well, that's not mentioning females. And so they actually have changed the Bible and to where it would be mother, father. Some translations have actually, believe it or not, where it refers to Jesus Christ, or Jesus the Christ, and that He bore His cross he bore our sins on his cross. They've actually changed it, perverted it, to where they'll say Judith the Christ, put in a female name, and that she bore our sins on the cross, et cetera, et cetera. Now, that's a total perversion. So you do got to be careful out there because there are perversions out there. But by and large, I think, again, the underlying issue is you can get a copy, hello, of the Bible that is trustworthy. Okay, but again, the premise of what we're talking about here is people are trained, even though you can get an accurate copy of the Bible, okay, that's not perverted, you still won't pick it up because you're trained to scoff at it like I used to be. Like, oh, hey, what's the use, man? It's just a book written by man. You can't trustworthy. It's full of contradictions, full of errors, blah, 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 blah. And again, that's back to where we left off before the break was with the transmission standards. People say, well, listen, okay, fine. Okay, starting to stack up. The Bible says it came from God. Jesus said it comes from God. The eyewitnesses with the apostles and the early church said it came from God, so much so that they died like flies. They put their lives on the line by the thousands and thousands and thousands. Okay, and that doesn't make sense that people would do that over and over again for a lie. Okay, and but then they'll say, fine, even if it was, we have the original documents. You're talking about the manuscripts, Dr. Monteith. Even if we had the original documents, okay, how do we know today that all the copies that we have today, and even some of these manuscripts, the codexes that they translate the Bible from, how do we even know that they're even accurate to the original? I mean, you've played the game, and here comes their little scenario. Haven't you played the little game where you say one sentence to one person, you go around the room, and 12 people later it comes around, and it's something completely different than what you started? So you mean to tell me after all these generations we can we can hold confidently our hand that this really did come from God, that's not messed up and tweaked up like that? Yes. And usually when people cite that scenario, as I used to before investigating the facts, okay, which is called hypocrisy, by the way, and I'll admit that of myself, okay, and is because that's not at all how the Bible was transmitted. It wasn't some willy-nilly thing or some people like, well, I hope you get it right. You know, hey, Bob, don't forget this. You know, write it down somewhere. Don't forget, you know, before you get home. Are you kidding me? I mean, you talk about exacting precision, and of course, because, again, God doesn't want it messed up. And so he made sure that it's going to be recorded for us accurately. Let's first of all look at the Old Testament, then we'll look at the New Testament. The Old Testament, how was it written for us? Well, first of all, the first five books of the Old Testament are called the Pentateuch. And most people believe it was written by Moses. And then they'll say, well, wait a second. All right, if you add up the math there, Moses is severely removed from the Genesis account. You know, the beginning of mankind, the Garden of Eden, the flood account, et cetera, et cetera. So if Moses wrote the first five books, even if you want to say that, he's so far removed in time from the actual events, how can we even trust that what he wrote is really accurate? Well, again, folks, that's the importance of reading the Bible. This is why, you know, Jesus even said every jot, every tittle, every little thing, every little even little hash mark in the Bible is there for a purpose, which includes the genealogies. And that's that part that people usually get to Genesis, and all of a sudden they kind of skip over, unfortunately. You know, so-and-so begot so-and-so, and so-and-so begot so-and-so, and so-and-so lived so long, and he gave birth to so-and-so, or he had a son, and his name is so-and-so, and et cetera, et cetera. Well, don't skip over that. Do the math. I actually did this one time in Bible college. And you do the math, and you start to see some interesting things start to stack up. And what you see is it's recorded for us extremely accurately.
There are plenty of things you may wish were lower, like your taxes, your commuting time, your weight. But there's one thing people can get lower, car insurance with State Farm. Talk to an agent today about State Farm's new lower car insurance rates, and while you're there, get State Farm's free discount double check. It's just another way a State Farm agent can be there for you. So call an agent 24/7 or visit statefarm.com and find out about State Farm's new lower rates. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Rates apply only in the state of Colorado and are not valid in any other state.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Rehabilitation and Nursing Center of the Rockies reminds listeners, support our community by frequenting your locally owned businesses. Small business is the lifeline of our country's business, employing over half the workforce. Remember your local merchant before shopping online or out of town. And help boost the economy, business by business. This community reminder is from Rehabilitation and Nursing Center of the Rockies. For information, call 225-9499. Check in on a senior this holiday season.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
Well, I guess it's Pastor Billy Crone. We're talking about how do we know the Bible is valid. Go right ahead, Pastor Crone.
Well, again, back to the Genesis account, Dr. Martini, and you can see, you know, how did Moses know what went on at the beginning of the creation when he's so far removed from that, you know, if he, in fact, didn't record for us the first five books of the Bible. Well, again, that's the importance of reading the Bible there with the genealogies. You start adding them up, and you see some interesting things that pop out. If you do the math, you see that Adam, the first man, obviously, knew Methuselah, the year he died, that's when the flood came, so you got Adam to Methuselah, to the flood. Adam knew Methuselah for 243 years, which some of you listening might go, oh, well, first of all, that you just shut me off right there. Well, again, you need to get our study of Judge creation that we dealt with, and we dealt with that, believe it or not, and they've actually done scientific experiments with this. If you have the right conditions, which in the pre-flood world, prior to the flood, with a canopy over the earth, shielding, number one, us from the harmful rays of the sun, which takes down your life span. But also, if you were to have the same conditions that they had prior to the flood, that we know that from tapping into amber and looking at the oxygen content, the air bubbles trapped in there that was formed at the time of the flood, you'll see that the earth had 50% more oxygen, had double the air pressure. So what do you get when you get a layer around the earth that protects us from the harmful rays and 50% more oxygen, double the air pressure, and a greenhouse type of environment? Well, you live longer. You live longer, you get bigger, and you're healthier and all kinds of stuff. It was an amazing society prior to the flood, okay? And so people live longer. In fact, they've done experiments. NASA, we even quoted this. NASA experiment even demonstrated when they put these people in the biosphere in a very similar condition, all of a sudden their libido came back. They got their gray hair started to go away, and all of a sudden these guys started to get revived. And NASA even, like we quoted them, NASA in that report there, said that, well, what were to happen if you were to leave somebody in here for a substantial time? They says, well, they probably could tap out at about 1,000 years old. Hey, folks, we're not making this up. This is the society. So anyway, that's a little detour. But Adam knew Methuselah for 243 years. Methuselah knew Noah. Okay, he's the survivor of the flood for 600 years. Noah had six living ancestors that could have personally known Adam, so he could have got it from not just Methuselah, what was going on there. In fact, Noah was still alive for 58 years after Abraham was born, if you do the math, okay? In fact, what's interesting, Noah's son Shem, he had three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Shem was still alive, not just for Abraham, but even Isaac and Jacob. And so when you start to add up the dates there, from the beginning of mankind, the Genesis account, the account of creation, okay, the first 2,157 years of mankind's history was covered by the lives of just three men. Okay, and so you can see that the transmission of this data wasn't over, you know, a whole multitude of people. There's no way you can accurate. No, folks, we're talking first-hand accounts and just a couple guys. Okay. Second of all, you need to understand that when the Jewish people made copies of the Old Testament, it wasn't willy-nilly, folks. I mean, it was some serious stuff. First of all, they had some rules that they had to follow when they made copies of the account. First of all, a synagogue roll must be written on the skins of clean animals, had to be prepared for the particular use of the synagogue by a Jew. That these must be fastened together with strings taken from clean animals. Every skin must contain, listen, a certain number. It was a mathematical formula that they used. They had to contain a certain number of columns equal throughout the entire codex. The length of the column was not to extend over more than 60 lines. The breadth must consist of 30 letters. The whole copy must be first line, and if three words should be written without a line, it's worthless. The ink should be black. It can't be red, can't be green, can't be any other color. Had to be prepared to a definite recipe. every consonant had to have the space of a hair the scribe, none of it could be, listen to this, could not be written from memory. The scribe had to look at the codex before him. Section or breath had to have a breath of 9 consonants. Between every book, there must be 3 lines. The fifth book of Moses must terminate exactly with a line. And so it was a complete mathematical formula. If it didn't all add up to this equations, they knew that there was a mistake. They got rid of it. Okay? Besides this, they had to sit in full Jewish dress when they did this. They had to wash their whole body. They could not begin to write the name of God without a pen newly dipped in ink, and even if a king should address him, quote, while writing the name of God, he must not take notes of him, which I believe was punishable by death. They were very serious about this. In fact, they checked their manuscripts within 30 days if it had even one mistake. If it got a little hash mark in the wrong place, it was destroyed. They burned it. They even buried the ashes just to make sure that nobody would ever find the remains. Extremely accurate transmission of what's going on. That's a far cry from the skeptics' response, oh, yeah, they're just talking around the circle. I don't think so. And then if you take a look at the New Testament, what's really interesting is their practices, the common practices of, that a student had with a rabbi, which was a teacher, which, of course, Jesus was rabbi, teacher, okay, amongst other things. But he did the same thing. That's what he was doing when he was teaching the disciples, okay? But the way that they taught, this relationship between the rabbi and the student, was it was a process of serious, heavy-duty memorization. Okay, it's not like today you get to sit there and space out and throw spit wads. Okay, in fact, it had a phrase back then. It said this, it was customary for the student to memorize a rabbi's teaching, quote, a good pupil was like a plastered cistern that loses not a drop. Okay, they literally, if you're a good student, you literally memorize word for word exactly verbatim of what your teacher was saying. And the teacher would repeat it over and over again, so you get it. Also, a common practice of the day is that it would be in poetical form. It would be in a form that would make it easier to be memorized. This is why Jesus used parables, a parable, which means to throw alongside. He threw along a story because people have a tendency to remember stories much easier. And so what you see is the Bible, for the New Testament, these guys, good disciples, mathetes, is what the word means. Okay, it's where we get mathematics. They were disciplined learners. Okay, they memorized word for word what Jesus was saying, which is eventually got recorded for us. And then there was a backup plan. John 14 says that the Holy Spirit, Jesus speaking, he says, all this I've spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I said to you. So just in case you might have ever thought something that you got perfectly memorized, I'm going to make sure it happens, okay? So, again, this is a far cry from the skeptic scenario. Oh, you know, how can we trust it? You know, over generation, No. It was completely memorized, literally drop by drop, and it was accurate standards. But here, to me, Dr. Monteith, the next evidence, the manuscript evidence, to me is where you bring out the biggest element of hypocrisy. People, again, will sit there and scoff at the Bible and say, oh, there's no way we can trust the Bible. There's just no way. It's just, you know. And yet the irony is, folks, we have, to date, tens of thousands of copies of Greek manuscripts. We've got over 10,000 copies of what's called the Latin Vulgate. That was after Greek, I believe it changed. Latin became the common language of the day. And so they kept the Bible going because language changed, just like we do today. Okay? And so you've got tens of thousands of manuscript copies.
Pastor, we're out of time. We'll have to continue this next month. But thank you so much for being with us, our guest, Pastor Billy Crow.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom. Good Sabbath. CINN stations in Alt salutes our troops. Whether you're for the war or against it, they're still there. These men and women deserve more than our support. They deserve the comfort of home. Send a military care package today. Just type military care package into a search engine. Point and click. Let's show our troops we care. This message from CINN stations in Alt, wishing Godspeed to our fighting men and women and thanking them for their triumphs and their sacrifices.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and you said to me, how do we know the Bible is accurate? Well, I've lived a long time, and I'm firmly convinced that the Bible is accurate because the prophecies have come true. There were 370 prophecies that have come to pass, and there are 300 that are coming to pass today. And Sydney, I suggest Pastor Crone has a 10-part video series, DVD series. It's called The Final Countdown. And you can actually trace the prophecies as to what would be happening today. And these things are coming to pass. We do have that available, part one and part two, 5 DVDs, neither one. We have his 10-part series on the fearful creation, and his 10 or 11-part series on the judged creation that goes into Noah's flood. And there's no question that there was a great flood. And, of course, that really divides time. There was a time about 1,600 years before the flood, and then starting after the flood, where we have Noah, and then we have curses. By memory, we have the great flood and the events that took place after that. We have Noah and then his descendants. And really, of course, you can trace everything back to Noah because there's nothing to trace before that. It was all destroyed. God did destroy the earth because it had become evil. And, well, we've become evil again today, and we've turned against God. But the judge creation, the fearful creation, each with 10 DVDs in it. If you need some place to start to convince yourself the Bible is accurate, these are excellent places, and we certainly recommend them. They're available by calling 1-800-544-8927. But the one that will help you, I think, the most would be the Final Countdown, because we are in that period today, and that's what makes what's going on really so exciting for those of us who know the Lord. Certainly otherwise, it's rather frightening because the world as we know it is changing and changing rapidly. It's very obvious that the current administration is intent upon bankrupting our nation, destroying the value of our currency, taking us into additional wars. It is not simply by coincidence, for instance, that the new premier of Greece, Papandino, I believe his name is. He replaced Papandreou, but basically, Papandreou was a member of the Bilderbergers, so Papandino is a member of the Trilateral Commission of the Bilderbergs. Remember, there's only maybe 80 members of the European chapter of the Trilateral Commission, and one of them has just become the new premier of Greece. The other has become the new premier of Italy. He also is Trilateral Commission Bilderberg. We have an elite who run the world, and they hate God. I mean, that's the purpose behind it. You look at the logo of the Trilateral Commission, three curved arrows. You look very closely, you can almost imagine it's 666 joined together in the middle by an upside-down broken cross. And they have their logos, they hide their symbols in plain sight, and they laugh at how stupid we are that we common people can't figure out what's going on. There is a ruling elite. They have a plan, and of course they are planning to enthrone their leader. I number 1-800-544-8897. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, shame on you. 1-800-544-8897. Go to our webpage, RadioLiberty.com. You can listen to our program 24 hours a day. Until tomorrow, the same day, the Lord.
Now you can reach the American Freedom Network at our new P.O. Box, 1750 Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at AmeriFree.com.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343. Sick of playing the guessing game with your vitamins? Tired of paying hundreds or even thousands of dollars for supplements that may or may not work? If you're a professional athlete or just looking for nutritional peace of mind,